Wow, so many ways to go on both of these passages. I'm going to focus on the passage from James, so you can have that in front of you, that David Moroney read to us. And it's Labor Day weekend, so I'm going to make you labor a little bit, right? So if you decide to tune out of this sermon, you're going to be sunk. So I hope you ate your Wheaties, drank your coffee to keep up, because I have a lot to try to say and not much time to say it. First of all, how many of you out there are familiar with the children's story, The Ugly Duckling? Ugly Duckling. So basic premise is this baby swan is in a barnyard. They mistake her for maybe a duck, I suppose, and ridicule the baby for not being as pretty or beautiful as they think she should be. And so the duckling, or the swan who thinks she's a duckling, operates her life under a faulty premise, as do the people ridiculing, or the animals ridiculing her. A faulty premise. They don't know that she's a swan. Well, when we operate from a faulty premise, we immediately get off on the wrong foot. A math calculation. You put down a calculation that you're going to do. If you write the calculation down incorrectly, I don't care how great your math is after that. You've begun with a faulty premise, and it's going to be incorrect. The same with in science. We operated for a while under this faulty premise that the Earth was the center of the universe. Well, we extrapolated a lot of things from that, but our first starting premise was wrong. We aren't the center of the universe. We do this with people. And this morning I want to think a little bit about this, about how not only do we do it with other people, but it happens to us. And often we have grown up with a faulty premise about who we are. And so if you've been in philosophy or read theological books, you've probably read something about the nature of man or the nature of humanity. Our youngest daughter, June, is about to leave for college, and she's going to double major. One of them is philosophy. She'll be studying some of these sorts of things. But the nature of humanity. And interesting, this kind of understanding of the nature of humanity is not something we actually find detailed in Scripture. So we're trying to figure out, and we put things in and pull things out of Scripture, but there's nothing that actually details this. And so, when we think as Christians about the nature of humanity, the problem is that generally we have tried to find the truth and the reality of our nature in the fall of Adam. That's where we go. Humanity fell. And so, what do we extrapolate from that? If you've been in the church for very long, you've heard this term, that we have a sin nature, that we are sinners by nature, that human nature is sinful. And so we originate things in the fall of Adam. But we should look a bit further back and discover the truth and reality of what God says about us, that we are created out of His nature. He's the origin of our nature. Remember, we shall create them in our likeness and image. This is actually the truth of our origin. The reality of who He is the truth about our nature. And this all may sound fine to you, except we typically don't live our lives this way. We live our lives, I think, most of us, under the faulty premise that we are sinful by nature. And when you think you are an ugly duckling by nature, and not actually a swan, you will live into what it means to be an ugly duckling, because you don't have any other expectations of yourself. If I just think I'm worthless and no good, then at some level it gives me an excuse to be worthless and no good. I'm just being who I am. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't have no other expectations of myself. It's just my nature to treat people poorly. It's just my nature. I'm not patient by nature, which is code for it gives me justification to be impatient with you and to be impatient with the line at the store. And it's just my nature to be this way. Does that make sense? So if that's the way we think of ourselves, we're going to live that out. This is the distorted mindset which Jesus came to free us from. So I want to look quickly at this. There's a passage in Romans I want us to look at, if you'll put that up on the screen. But now, irrespective of law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So, who we are, our standing before God, our righteousness has been disclosed. It's not hidden. It's disclosed in Jesus. And as we hear about who we are in Jesus, then it has effect for those of us who believe it. Well, I mean, don't make it too hard, but this is just logical. If you believe that somebody has $1,000 waiting for you if you'll just go to the desk, well, if you believe it and you go, you're going to get it. But if you don't believe them, you've lost out already, right? So our belief, it motivates our actions. So if we believe who we are, it's going to have an effect on us. Next part of the slide. This is the next part of the verse. For there is no distinction. What does that mean? We're all in the same boat. All of us. There is no distinction since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which we've probably heard that. Let me unpack that a minute. And I told you I'm making you labor. This is all going to connect up, but stay with me. Sinned. We have a problem when we read that word. We think of sin as our behavior and doing the wrong thing. And so behavior modification becomes part of what Christianity is about, that if I will just not sin or behave incorrectly, that I will be something else. The problem is, in the original language, that's not what this means. Sin is the Greek word hamartia. Ha, the first two letters, H-A, are a negation. In other words, it's like our letter A. If we're amoral, it means we're not moral, right? If it's atypical, it means it's not typical. Ha is the same thing in Greek. So it means not martia. Martia from the Greek word root meros. I know, hang on. Hang on. Hold on tight. What is it saying we're not? Meros means to have form or identity. Sin, then, in the original language is to not understand your form or identity. You don't see who you are. Ugly duckling. It's not so much about behavior, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. Hamartia, without form, without identity, that is where we miss it. We have all not seen our identity. There is no distinction. None of us have seen who we are. And we have fallen short of the glory of God. One more Greek word for you, glory. What do we think of glory? Somehow, I think when we think of the word glory, it's like shining radiance or something, isn't it? Like, this is the glory of God. We think of, like, you know, shimmering. Well, that's got nothing to do with that word. Glory in Greek is doxa. And doxa means intent, not shimmering. There is no distinction. We are all in the same place. We have all forgotten our identity. We don't see who we are. And we have fallen short of the intention of God. Which was what? It's what I told you in the beginning, that we were created in His likeness, in His image. That's who we are. His intention is that we understand that and that we live as His sons and daughters. But we've forgotten who we are. And so let's get to James very quickly. It's talking about a mirror, right? It says, I walk up and I look in the mirror, and then I walk away and I forget who I am. Sounds a whole lot like what I've just been talking about. We hear about who we are. Yay. But we walk away and get distracted and we forget who we are. We walk away and we fall back. So the difference in this passage between the spectator and the participant is we both hear that message. We are God's beloved. We are created in the image and likeness of God. If you were here 3 weeks ago, I talked about the wholeness is when the way of our being matches the truth of our being. I'm talking about the truth of your being right now. We look in the mirror. We see the truth of our being. This is who I am. I'm actually beloved and created in God's image. And my nature is not flawed by design, which is sinful. Yes, I've forgotten who I am, but by nature, that's not who I am. I am created in the image and likeness of God. His fruit of the Spirit, because God lives in me, lives in me. I'm not trying to obtain patience from out in the ether. It's part of actually who I am, but I don't know that. And so I don't have any expectation to live that way. So for one, we see who we are in the mirror, James says, and it seems too good to be true, and we depart and forget who we are. But the other one is mesmerized by what it says is this law of liberty, that we've been freed from that kind of thinking. We see who we are in Jesus Christ. We see who we are, and so we then forget trying to live by external laws, which we heard about in the gospel reading today. You can do all of this external stuff, and it doesn't matter. Because you don't know who you are inside. So our journey then is to reframe our thinking. Colossians, I believe, says it this way, that we have been alienated and hostile in our minds against the gospel. We think we're ugly ducklings. Now, let me say this before someone comes to the conclusion that I'm being easy on sin and just sweeping it under the rug. Sin's a terrible thing. When we forget who we are, we mistreat other people and we mistreat ourselves and we cause a great deal of destruction and suffering and darkness in this world. I'm not soft on sin either at all. And neither was God. Jesus comes to the cross in order to absorb our sin. All of the darkness that we have, we nail him there. We see true love and we say, we don't want you. We humiliate him and we torture him and we get rid of him. And he says, I've got to go to those very places to show you that is not who you are. And I'll go to the very darkness of death in order to come through again to life and say, this is who you are, worth the blood of God. So let me conclude this way. This may be an analogy that might help. Just as a virus would attach itself to a person and you would begin to display its symptoms, someone who hosts a virus at no point becomes the virus. They're still a person, but they're displaying the symptoms. When we host hamartia, the sin of not understanding who we are, we display the symptoms of living that way. And it hurts us and it hurts other people. But we don't become that. That is not our nature. Just as the patient, their nature is not the virus. No decent doctor would just slap you and command you to stop coughing. You can't do it that way. We have to understand who we are. the ugly duckling was always a swan. Right? It just didn't realize it. The moment of our awakening to our true identity, and this happens generally over time in some respects, our redeemed identity, that is what they talk about in Scripture as our new birth. Because we're beginning to understand who we really are. We are really being born again and born anew because we're operating in from a different perspective than we had before. But just when we've awakened to it, that's not what made it true. It was already true, right? I said this 3 weeks ago. Whenever you've discovered that 3 and 3 = 6, the moment you came to believe that didn't make that true. 3 and 3's always been 6. You just finally caught up to it. You are the beloved of God, born in His image and likeness. That is your nature. My prayer is that it becomes more and more true for all of us in this journey of faith together. Amen.